Greetings to you, boys, and to everyone, in our Lord Jesus' name. Thank God for the opportunity to gather again. Praising for the hymns we sang, and for voices. Praise His name, worthy. We're in summer now. I have a message on my phone about the springtime. I need to change it now because it's gone. The heat of summer. It's been a good one so far. Boys, if you have something special to thank the Lord for this morning.
Sing.
know, we come, we think of singing in the church, in the with the congregation. But what about, does a song go through your heart? Does the song sound its way through your heart ever? Through the week, when you think of Jesus, you think of the Lord, think of these blessings you mentioned to you this morning, and thank God for it. Or does just little wisps of songs you might have heard, or a little movie, or on a radio somewhere, or a little classical music or something, does that just ring through your mind? Men either sing to themselves or they sing to God. And singing to God does bring enjoyment to our own hearts, minds, soul, our own souls as well. But allow your heart to break forth in song when you think about what the Lord has done for you, the blessings He's given to you. God is good. And these are the things that are, to think about the goodness of God is, and to try to be good like Him are the things that last in this earth, in this life. And to last until eternity, after our lives pass. Do not trust in rulers and in the sons of men. There's no salvation in them. And when His breath goes out of him, that last breath that a man takes, all his thoughts perish. That means his plans, his ideas, his incessant desire to get ahead, or to get even, or to become great, they all perish, those thoughts. Often when the Bible talks about his thoughts, the man's thoughts, or it's his ideas, his plans, his, what he's thinking. Verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Here it says Jacob, the God of Jacob. That's who we serve. And you know what? Jacob was he wasn't a perfect man. Do you ever remember anything that Jacob messed up in? Jacob didn't do right. I guess I should ask him something good that he did. Do you think of any mistakes he made? Jacob, from the Bible. The one who had all those 12 boys. Is there any mistakes he made growing up? He and Esau. Think of anything there? Stole the birthright. Yeah, and God had to really discipline him lovingly, but firmly. So much to the point that Jacob said, all these things are against me, he said one time. He had everything. Simeon is not anymore. Joseph is not anymore. Now you're taking Benjamin from me. And we could die of hunger if we don't send men. All these things are against him. But he's the God of Jacob. Look who was mentioned. He's the only person here mentioned that specifically. And he was just a man. And he served God. He repented of his wrongdoing. He kept God up. He kept calling the Lord. And his hope was in the Lord his God. Verse 6, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. Who keeps truth forever. This God who made the sea and that everything in them. We looked at a documentary lately about the in Mariana's Trench. Isn't that how you say it, Roger? Mariana's Trench. It's a 7-mile deep or more. More than that in the ocean. It's just deep. And there's things that people don't begin to know about. Those depths down there. They think they do. They made a documentary. They think they're pretty sure how that trench was made and all that. And maybe they know some. But there's so many secrets that are kept from man that
our God made everything in that. Who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the wrong. Who provides food for the hungry. The Lord frees those bound. The Lord restores those broken down. The Lord gives wisdom to the blind. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord keeps watch over resident aliens. He shall adopt the orphan and the widow. You know, I thought of that about the aliens, the resident alien. Today, people can't even stand, a lot of people can't even stand the word alien. If you're here illegally or you're just a foreigner or you've come from another country, to be called an alien, they will get all angry and say, I'm not that. Why are you using that word? Well, the thing is, we as men and women, we just kind of don't like to admit what we are sometimes. And you know, a man can never get help from his problems if he doesn't admit what he is. You boys, I want to just encourage you. There are times that your parents have asked you, did you do that? And they want to help you. You know, you didn't get done or you made a mess out of the refrigerator, out of the freezer, when you're supposed to take something out, or maybe you let the freezer door open or something. Your parents would like to give you a little instruction, but you didn't know it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I did not. You know, stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about. You know, if you don't admit, you'll never get help. You're always just, I'm good, I'm good. I'd never. What if it was someone else? Or it was something else. A miracle. Or something supernatural. Think about it. You know, all these things. The hungry. People don't want to admit they're hungry. They're hungry. Or poor. Or they don't like to be called that. Or bound, those who are prisoners. Prisoners even today can't stand to be called that. They demand good conditions and maybe entertainment and that kind of thing. The Lord restores those broken down. Blind people say, I can see. I mean, especially those who are spiritually blind. His wisdom to those who say, I don't have wisdom. Give me wisdom. If you don't admit what you are, you never get any help. Here, the resident aliens, or the orphan, and the widow. And then as you serve the Lord, and as you, let's say you admit what you are, maybe God just blesses you in life. You really don't have any of these big problems you can think of. Yes, you do, but there's not any big, or maybe no big handicaps, or they're not poor yet, not beat, and all that. Well, then God says, seek out those who need help like that. Be merciful to them. Do it today. We were at the museum yesterday, and the founders of that little museum, and the programs that surround that museum and all was a Harvey Jones and his wife Bernice, and there's a film there that you watch that tells about them, and I was just amazed at the amount of people that came on and talked about them, loving and delighted, remembering their goodness. The special man, I'm not sure if the wife died yet. She was on there at that time the film was made. She was still living. But anyway, apparently she's back in the White House. But this Harvey, he had a Jones Trucking Company in Springdale, Arkansas.
And it was just, became a very wealthy man. But they made it clear that long before he was wealthy, when he was borrowing money, he was just extremely generous. And when something needed to be done in the community, he was there. And people would just ask him for wisdom. And all because he could see the future, how that would turn out. He was just that common sense. But then there were four people that talked about being helped by him. There was one instance where one of his main CEOs under him, or men in the company, he said, come to my office. And he came and said, I heard that this man in town, he worked for another company. It wasn't his. He didn't even work for him. But that man had been off work because of sickness for 6 weeks or something. And he said, I've heard that their shelves are pretty big. He said, I want you to go and get, I don't know, 10 grocery bags or something. A whole bunch. You take my car, you go get that at the grocery store, then you take it there. And don't you tell anybody about this. He said, you go there and you take it to the door and you just say, a neighbor wanted to do this. And then another time when one of his main high up foremen, or like I say, CEOs or supervisors in the business, they would work for some of the worst men, workers that were no good, you know, just had a hard, just hard to get along with, wouldn't take directions very well, and he'd tell him, Harvey, we just got to do something. We just cannot go on like this. These men are just, two in particular. They're just lost cases of, we talk about basket cases. They're just a sad case. And he said, he'd look at me. Harvey would look at me and say, what do you think we have any chance of making something out of him? And I'd say, we could try. And we'd try. Keep right up. And that is, these are things that last. Things that have lasting value rather than strain and stress that we sang about in this life of mundane things that seem so important trick us into thinking they're very important. But when they're not lasting, may we seek what the psalmist is saying here. The Lord keeps watch over the resident aliens. He shall adopt the orphan, verse 9, and widow, but he shall destroy the way of sinners. Remember, boys, remember the phrase in Psalm 1, any of it? Psalm 1, about destroying the way of sinners. Any of you want to help me back here? Sinners or ways of the ungodly. The way of the ungodly perish. Their way is no good. They'll end up like that Ron Staff book, the coloring book showed for that phrase in Psalm 1, that the goat coming to the edge of the cliff. The way perish. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Mary's talking about Zion. Speaking to us, speaking to God's kingdom, if we may be a part of that kingdom. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, reign forever. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe I'll ask you boys give an example. Give us an example, or a quote, or a verse about
God have for their problems, their needs that way. And that's you younger ones and you older ones. Just give an example of where you could do better in admitting a need or in helping someone else with a need. All right. Okay, your assignment for today.
This week we're supposed to think about something that in nature that impresses us, and I thought about how God gives the animals knowledge to take care of their young and gives their young the knowledge that they need to get milk.
The sunrise and the sunset impresses me.
God made a whole lot of birds that go flying all around, and we can see them. And it impresses us to see all the pretty birds.
I thought about earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff that just show God's power and all what He can do.
Our assignment was to get somebody that gave testimony, good testimony about the Lord. And Noah preached and gave testimony about the Lord and built an ark when no one else thought it was right.
Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But just as it is written, things which ears had not heard and men have not seen or had entered into the heart of man, which God has prepared for them who love Him.
I thought about when Elijah took all the people up onto Mount Carmel and he made this test, got this test that they would see which was the true God, or Baal. And the people that worshiped Baal tried first, and they tried all day and just tried and tried, prayed and prayed and prayed to Baal, but nothing happened. And then Elijah made an altar and put water on it and everything, and he prayed, and the fire came and consumed it, all the rocks and water and everything.
I just had a couple of verses here in 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who have not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy.
I thought about how John wrote Revelation, and he said that God was going to go and conquer the devil and his angels and throw him into hell and just told all how it was going to be.
I was thinking about David, how he was just a shepherd boy tending the sheep, and then God saw him and chose him to be the next king. And then in the Psalms, he wrote a lot about God. And then in Psalm 147, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord, O Zion, for He strengthens the bars of your gates.
He blesses your children within you. He grants your borders peace and fills you with the finest of wheat. He who sends his teaching to earth until his word shall run swiftly, giving snow like wool. And just, David talked a lot about all through the Psalms.
I got how John wrote the Revelation. God revealed to him a lot of the stuff that would happen in the end times.
I thought about the Apostle Stephen when they were stoning him, he still, you know, was praying and asked God to forgive him. And I thought that was a good testimony, a good example.
Jeremiah, when God sent him messengers to preach in the temple or whatever, and he just went back time and time again. They just spit on him and just did all kinds of horrible stuff to him. He still gave testimonies of God, and he just stayed true.
I thought about Jesus. He gave a good testimony of God all throughout his lifetime, helping the sick and the poor and doing good things.
I was thinking just now about Hebrews, where it talks about how the world was not worthy of those that followed the testimony of God. I was also thinking of the one passage of Scripture that talks about assurance and how we know that we're bearing witness with the Spirit of God. And this week I've been thinking a lot about, just in my personal life, a lot of times I want to secure a good feeling about what I'm doing. I want to just feel like I'm just really, you know, I start wanting to start getting my regiments all in line to just really do something, you know. I'm going to go out there and weed the whole garden, do this, you know. But then I thought the only thing that we can testify during a day is that we did what we were supposed to do. And that sometimes is just doing what we can do at that moment, not getting too carried away with all these great plans. But just being faithful.